it is this time of the year when we look both at death and life. Let me share with you, as we start with death, some classic epitaphs on tombstones. Boot Hill, here lies Les Moore, shot 4 times with a 44. No less, no more. Did you get it? In England, Anne Wallace, the children of Israel, the children of Israel wanted bread, so the Lord sent them manna. Old Clark Wallace wanted a wife, so the devil sent him Edda. These are true. Beneath this sod lies a lump of clay. Her name is Anna Young, who on the 24th May began to hold her tongue. And one in Nevada. Here lies Butch. We planted him raw. He was quick on the trigger, but slow on the draw. And another one, on a tombstone, it was written, "You can't win." But I have news for you. We won because of Jesus rising from the dead. In observing the depiction of Christian art, a famous artist said, "Why do you keep filling the gallery after gallery with Christ in weakness, dying, most of all, hanging on a cross? Paint Christ, not dead, but risen. Paint him the conqueror of death. Paint him the Lord of life." You see, Christianity begins where all other religions end, at the resurrection. Apostle Paul said, "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised, and our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." The resurrection is not just a part of the Christian life. It is the foundation and the essence of Christian life. And we have found the answer in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at Luke chapter 24. If you will turn to it with me, please. And I want to pick up from where Janet left off in the reading of God's word. And it is on the road to Emmaus. Now on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from being recognizing him. I'm sure Jesus just kind of blinded their eyes for a little bit. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and don't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in the word, and indeed before God and all the people. The chief priests and others handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him, and he had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." Their idea of redeeming Israel was a little different than what our Lord's idea was. And it is more on the third day since they took the place. In addition to some of the women amazed us, they went to the tomb early in the morning but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who stood, that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found just as the women had said, but some of them did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And at the beginning, isn't it interesting? As they were walking along at the beginning, starting with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said about all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So they went to he went to stay with him. And then what happened? And when he was with them at the table, with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. Remember, these disciples were not at the disciples of the Passover. And he began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures?" Wow. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. We must look at the cross through the open tomb, where we find it empty. All our sin, past and present and future, has been nailed to the cross. And we now walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we have been freed from the power and the punishment of sin. But you know, if we focus on suffering alone, we will not see the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Duke of Wellington, in the campaign of Waterloo in June of 1815 against Napoleon, sent signals back to England by semaphore. Wellington defeated, and all of England's hearts sank because fog then came in and they couldn't read the rest. And when the fog lifted, again it came. Wellington defeated the enemy, and rejoicing all through the country of England. Yes, Christ has defeated the enemy death. So we can look death straight in the face and say our life is hid with Christ in God. In the present, he imparts to us eternal life, so that Christ, who was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too will walk in newness of life. And we have the blessed future hope in Christ. So as Dr. Billy Graham said, and you probably heard it in all of the funeral processions and so on and so forth, "I am just changing my address." That's it. Because we are transformed in Jesus Christ. And it's so important that we understand this, So there was an open tomb. It was a, what a great opening day it was through the open tomb. And then they opened their home on the road to Emmaus. There was something that drew him, as at the end of the conversation when Jesus left, they said, did our hearts not burn within us because Jesus was unfolding all the truth of life? No one ever spoke like this man. And it's the truth that you and I have faced today. Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. The question today in this room is, have you invited him into your life? You cannot go out this door this morning without encountering Jesus. Why? Because he has given you the truth. You can either accept him or reject him, but you can't remain neutral anymore. In John 14:23 says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. They opened their home. Is Christ in your home? Are you trusting him? Not now open their home, but they opened their eyes. You see, the Bible says Satan has blinded the eyes of people. He doesn't want us to come to Christ. There's no way. And look what the religious leaders did. They reject him because he didn't fit into their system that they had devised to rule it over the people. He didn't fit into their way of thinking. But Jesus doesn't. Because he is the way and the truth and the life. Why did Jesus tell the blind man to go and wash? Because the blind man had to walk, to trust him by faith. You see, our faith is not merely an intellectual assent to truth. We have to act on it. Back in the 40s, a high wire guy tied a cable across Niagara Falls. And he devised a wheelbarrow with a groove in it and pushed that wheelbarrow from the Canadian side to the American side and back again. He did it for a purpose. He said, do you think that I can walk to the other side? Well, yes, you can walk to the other side. I saw you do it. He said, then will you get in the wheelbarrow? He had no takers. But it goes to illustrate the point that we have to act on it. And John 14 says, I will reveal myself only to those who love and obey me. Our Lord has taken the scales off our eyes, and we can see life from a totally different perspective. We can see life as it really is and not a fantasy. We can face life as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we can begin to understand ourselves better because, you see, our security is now in Jesus Christ, which is imperative for becoming objective in looking at life itself. But some refuse to find that objective in life because they refuse to let go. You have to let go and trust Christ. Jesus said, he who loses his life for my sake will find it. When we come to Christ, our eyes are opened to a whole new vista of truth and thought that other people cannot see, so that we can now face life in a totally, totally different way. He not only opened their eyes, but he opened the scriptures, starting with Moses and all the way down through the prophets. What a power that was in pointing everything to him as to what the scripture said. Paul said, your words are truth and they are life. But you see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. We have in this book everything to handle life with. The truth of who we are as sinners in Jesus Christ. You see, what sin is asserting my will over against God's will for me. I want to be the captain of my faith. I want to be the master of my soul. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That is what sin is. And as a result of that, we commit sins. It's the nature that we have been born with. The Bible makes that very plain. But when we come to Christ, we put all of ourselves on the table with him. And he changes. That is the truth of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he opened the scripture. What a treasure it is to study God's word and to know what the truth is of life and how we can face it. And he not only gives us eternal life, but he gives us the abundant life. So he not only opened the scriptures, but he also opened their minds. First he opened their home, then he opened their eyes, he opened the word, and now he opened their mind. Now what is the meaning of the word mind here? It's very clear. It is attitude. The scriptures impacted their lives as they were walking along. And you know something? When we open our minds to God's truth, he will blow your mind. It is so true. Now our lives are based on truth instead of a fantasy that we created to try to get through this life. But be careful. With an open mind, God will deal with prejudice and bias. He will deal with ill feelings and past hurts. He will deal with bad habits. He will deal with impure thoughts. He will deal with a critical spirit, because you see, he wants to change us into the kind of person so that he can live with us forever in heaven. A true Christian is a person in process. A believer without wrinkle and without spot. He not only opened their minds, but he opened heaven. He ascended into heaven. Many times where heaven was opened in the scriptures, at his birth to the shepherds, when the sky was rolled back and they could see the angels coming from heaven to announce the birth of Christ. That is so significant, because first, now you have the openness between earth and heaven with the announcement. During his baptism, the heavens were opened, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice was saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." You know, that interesting to see that as well, because this is the first time that we see in God's word where it's referred to as God's Son. When they were in heaven together, it was Jehovah. They were equal. together as one, working together. But now when he comes to this earth, he is called not only the Son of God, but the Son of Man. And you know when the heavens is opened again? In the Transfiguration. When the disciples got a glimpse of the holiness of God, that must have been an awesome, awesome experience when they saw Christ glorified in his life and in their lives. But you know, there's another time when heaven is open. When you and I came to Christ and surrendered our life to him, heaven was open and the Holy Spirit came to us and is dwelt among us. And he's the one that teaches us and he's the one that guides us in life. And he is sealed in our hearts. The scripture is so pure and strong on this that he has become a part of us, guiding us in our lives. And you know when heaven will be opened again? When Christ comes back. Now see, I really sense reading the scriptures and looking at what is happening in the world that we are in the very end of time. He could come back, but no one knows the day or the hour. However, if we pass from this earth before he returns, we will see him in all his glory. And the Bible makes it plain that when Christ comes back, we will be coming back with him in victory. So life and death is not extinction of life. Death is only spiritual separation from God because we refuse the truth, to accept the truth and accept Christ as our personal Savior. And we will spend eternity in a place called hell that he prepared for the devil and his angels, but because we refuse Christ, we will be lost forever. Think of it. Now, also, think of the people that you work with, the neighbors that you deal with, the people that you rub shoulders with throughout every day. They are going, if they have not accepted Christ, they are going to a priceless eternity. And that's another thing that happened with disciples. They opened their mouths. Think of what it was in verse 53. An Old Testament prayer was answered. Lord, upon my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praise. They didn't keep it a secret. They turned right around and went back to the disciples, and then they was telling everybody what had happened. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. So how can we keep it silent? If we have the greatest truth of all of what life is about, they open their mouths. The great gulf that existed between God and man was spanned by Jesus Christ through the opened tomb. Through the open scriptures, through our open hearts, and he opens our eyes, and he opens our minds. So let's open our mouths. I want to ask the question that I asked previous. Do you know Jesus? I didn't say, do you know about Jesus? I said, do you know Jesus? Are you willing to get in the wheelbarrow and trust him by faith? because that is going to determine your destiny. Think of it. The 80 or so years that you and I live on the face of this earth is nothing but preparation for eternity. Ecclesiastes 3 says, God has placed eternity into the hearts of every human being. From the time of conception, that is a new life that God has created. All we did is teamed up with God to create it. But that's a new life, a precious life for eternity. Let's pray together. On this Easter Sunday morning, when we pull all the stops out, and there's a certain, very certain reasons that we do that, because we have found the truth, and Christ has changed our lives, and he has saved us, and he's given us meaning and purpose in life, and we shall live with him forever. But my question is, do you know Jesus personally? Have you come to him and said, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I come to you and ask that you will take over my life. And by that act of faith, you will be transformed by the power of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come to the close of our